Greetings and welcome to the Prometheus Project Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Bist. Thank you for joining me on this exploration of creativity. You know, there's a point in every artist's life when they wonder if they're good enough. Usually it's the fledgling artists that feel this way, the ones who work in isolation in their bedrooms or their basements, who keep their work to themselves. It's a common feeling for anyone learning their craft and trying to find their voice or their style. Some of these people adapt quickly, they build up their self-confidence and self-esteem, and they push themselves to improve and be noticed. Others, well, they may not be as comfortable with their abilities, they may struggle with their confidence, and because of this they wonder, am I good enough? This is a make-or-break point for a lot of people. Hell, I've been there myself on more than one occasion. It's that point where some people just can't carry on. They just don't have the encouragement or the support. And to me, that's terribly sad. They question their abilities. They question their ideas, their style, their execution. They look at the work of their peers and see what they're producing, and they compare it to their own work, usually seeing everything that's right in the other person's work and everything that's wrong with their own. They get discouraged, depressed, and eventually they end up hanging up their tools of their art and they quietly slip into anonymity. And it's not just comparing one's work to someone else's. This questioning of ability can be triggered from, I don't know, all sorts of things. Some people are affected by feedback. You know, one of the most difficult parts of being an artist is receiving feedback and constructive criticism of your work. Trust me, I understand. When I was a teenager, I didn't show my work to anyone, partially because I questioned my abilities, but also because I had a tough time with people criticizing my work. I showed one of my first short stories to my sophomore language arts teacher, and while she was incredibly kind and gave me some fantastic feedback, at first I was hurt by her edits and comments. You know, looking back years later, I appreciate what she did to help me and guide me. But at that time, I was embarrassed. I was thinking, what? My story isn't great? It needs work? Hogwash. And yeah, I felt like I wasn't good enough. I considered giving up on ever becoming a writer. The truth was, I didn't know what I was doing. I was an amateur without any real guidance. I simply assumed that writers wrote complete, polished stories every time. I never considered the fact that they did rewrites, that they had readers and editors who pointed out plot holes and errors on the page. But that's one of the hurdles all artists have to overcome. I don't think I've ever met a creative person who is immediately comfortable with receiving criticism. We have to understand that constructive criticism is just that. It's constructive. We may not agree with it, and we're under no obligation to make any changes to our work. But I feel that learning to accept criticism at face value, well, it's like a guitarist who has to build up calluses on their fingers in order to play without pain. It takes time and patience. But in the end, well, it's worth it. And don't confuse constructive criticism with plain old criticism. You know, the people that see your work and simply don't like it. Or they give you some vague reason. You know, if you're going to express your opinion on my work, then I expect a reason for it. Saying, I don't like it, isn't going to do anything for me, and I'll immediately dismiss your opinion. That's the other step in the process, learning how to differentiate between positive and negative feedback. Positive feedback points out possible flaws and maybe offers suggestions for improving the piece. Negative criticism is basically useless, and you have to learn to dismiss it. Don't let it get into your head. The thing is, not everyone is going to like everything you create. That's just how it goes. It's not a reflection on you. Like humor, art is subjective. You know, I adore Salvador Dali's paintings, but I know people who just don't get it, and that's fine. Do you think Dali cared about all these people who don't like his art? The same with Stephen King. He's probably one of the most prolific modern writers. Millions and millions of copies sold, book awards, movies, all in all, very successful. Yet there are readers who simply don't like him, don't like his writing, don't like his stories. Do you think that keeps Mr. King up at night? Yeah, I don't think so either. Of course, there's more to this topic than just being able to accept criticism. Artists often need support and encouragement. You know, I didn't have that when I was starting out. Well, there was some, but it was minimal. I didn't know any other writers or artists. I didn't know anyone who was quote-unquote in the business. I was on my own trying to find my way. Back in the early 1980s, there wasn't an internet. I spent most of my time in my bedroom listening to music, reading, and trying to learn how to be a writer. Fledgling artists today actually have it better in that regard. It's much easier to find support, to find others who do the same thing you do, or something similar, and you can collaborate and encourage one another. There are online communities where artists can hang out, share their work, get feedback from peers. But it won't do anyone any good if you don't participate. And that's another step in getting past the "am I good enough" mindset. You have to learn how to share your work. People can find it hard to share. Artistic creations are often very personal. It's not necessarily that they reveal some personal truths or secrets, but for artists, or at least for me, I put my heart into everything I create. The stories I write, the music I create, the photos I take, they're all my children. They're special, unique. And like any reasonable parent, I feel protective of them. But with that said, being overprotective of your creations can limit you. You can't improve as an artist unless you get feedback. You have to show others what you're doing. One, you'll get that needed feedback, but also you'll find encouragement, advice, suggestions. All that combines to build up your self-confidence. I know that the first time a stranger told me they liked a story I wrote, man, that was one of the most incredible feelings. I felt empowered, like I could do anything I set my mind to. And yeah, the feeling passed, but I still remember how it felt and the fact that it made me feel so damn confident. You can't buy that kind of gift. With all that said, the question still remains, are you good enough? You know, the answer is simple, and it applies to anyone listening to this podcast. Yes, yes, you are good enough. How do I know this? Because I've been there. As I've already explained, I wonder if I'm good enough. I asked that question myself many times over the years. At first, no, I didn't think so. Then later, well, I wasn't sure. But now I know that, yes, I'm good enough to be a writer, or a visual artist, or a musician. Am I the best? Oh, hell no. But that's not the point. The point is that you and me, we're both good enough. The thing is, when you question whether or not you're good enough to be creative, to be a painter, or a writer, or a photographer, or a sculptor, you're comparing yourself to others. Don't do that. You can admire others, their dedication, their skills, their artistic output. Admiration is fine. You can even be influenced by them. Copying their techniques is a great way to learn and to help you develop your own skills. But don't compare your work to someone else's work. There lies disappointment. You see, you are unique, and so am I. We all are. We all have unique skills and abilities. We all have some degree of talent. And as I've mentioned in this episode and several others, art is subjective. Just because someone doesn't like your creative output doesn't mean that you aren't good enough. You just don't appeal to their individual taste. Some people like, I don't know, pistachio ice cream, while others think it's repulsive. Do their opinions outweigh the opinions of those who do like it? No, they don't. And I'm not disputing that fledgling artists aren't going to have the same skill set as someone who has been doing it for years. Practice and dedication are required. But just because you don't have the same skills as another artist doesn't mean that you aren't good enough or that you don't have talent. No one is amazing right from the start. We all have different levels of talent. That's what makes us unique. We don't have to compare ourselves to others. What we should be doing is comparing our current output to previous output. Like for someone who draws pictures, is the portrait you're currently drawing better than the last one? For writers, is the character or dialogue in your stories improving with each draft? That's the only comparison we should be making. Are you working on improving yourself and your skill set? That's all that matters. In addition to that, you have to be honest in your creativity. What I mean is that you have to care about what you're creating. You can't just slap words on paper or paint on canvas or point your camera at some random object and claim it's art. It doesn't work that way. If you really care, really put effort into what you're creating, then that makes you an artist. You don't have to wait for someone to tell you that. You don't have to wait for someone to pay you money for your art. Hell, you really don't even have to show anyone what you're doing. Although, I think you should. If you're honestly working at creating your visions, not comparing your work to another artist's work, and constantly trying to improve your skills, then, my friend, you are good enough to be an artist. Pretty simple, isn't it? You have to remember, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to self-confidence and self-esteem. Don't judge yourself based on what others say. All right, so for this show closeout, I'd like for you to take a few minutes. Sit down or lay down, get comfortable, then consider the following. If you had the complete freedom to create, no worries about money, jobs, chores, the kids are taken care of, and you simply have nothing else to do, what would you do? Think about it now. You don't have to go to work, go shopping, clean the bathroom, nothing. All you have is free time, all the time in the world to pursue your passion. What would be the first thing you'd want to work on or accomplish creatively? For me, the first thing I do is finish my first novel. I would be very content if I could spend the majority of my day writing. Of course, I'd need to get up every once in a while, so I'd probably begin filming things, experimenting with video editing. The main thing, though, would be writing. I've dreamed of being able to write full-time, get that novel done, then write another, and another. Two or three a year. I'd be satisfied even if they never sold a copy, because, you know, all I want to do is tell stories. So think about this for a bit and come up with what you'd want to do. What project would you tackle? Once you get that in mind, start working towards getting that project finished. I know you don't actually have that limitless free time. None of us do. But you have a passion project in mind now, and you need to pursue it. Use your spare time, no matter how limited it is. I know you can do it. It may take a while, but that's okay. You know, as always, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to drop me a line via the comment form on my website, richardbiss.com, or catch me on Twitter. A friendly reminder, my short story collection, Dark Journeys, is available as an ebook through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Be sure to pick up a copy. There'll be a paperback version available soon. And for what it's worth, I also have a Tumblr account now and a Facebook account. So hit me up, Richard Best. Until next episode, cheers.